Well, God is good.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
And I want to talk today about God's goodness, about his love. So chapter 3 is going to lead us into that. So before I read the scripture in chapter 3, this is probably the most famous verse in the whole Bible, "For God so loved the world." But I want to talk about love. There's three words for the word love, but two of them are classical Greek. And that those two words are supplemented by something, as far as I know, is only in the New Testament. In other words, it's talking about God's kind of love. It's not. It's called Koine Greek. That's the Greek on the streets. Koine Greek is the only one that contains just ordinary language of the street. Agape. But then there's also eros, which is common in our culture today. You use other people for your own satisfaction. In other words, you turn people into objects. People then are not people. You don't regard them as people. You regard them as simply objects for your own satisfaction, for your own pleasure, for your own ability. It's just like an object. And so eros is erotic, meaning you're drawn to somebody because you're going to use them. You're going to employ them for your own selfish gain, profit, advantage. And so eros is an erotic kind of love, but then there's another one called phileo, like Philadelphia, meaning brother. And when you treat somebody as a brother, you're also treating them because you share something equally. And so they're a brother, and you like them and they like you because you like the same thing. So brotherly love is not agape. Neither is eros agape. So we don't have three kinds of words in our language. Like that we just said, "I love ice cream." That's because ice cream makes me feel better because it's got sugar in it, and so on and so forth. I like the horse. I love horses. So we use the word love in a loose way, but the Greeks are very specific. And this one refers to God's unconditional love toward you, whether you love him or not. No condition. God loves you because God is love. And so I thought I'd give you that background. Phileo means like David and Jonathan. Jonathan was King Saul's son, and Jonathan loved David because he knew, my father is a tyrant at times, but he's a good soldier, but he's a tyrant at times. But David has the Lord's favor on him because he was a man after God's own heart. Well, so was Jonathan's, but his love was toward David, but that's phileo. The problem with phileo, why it's not much better than eros, is because as soon as you sin in a relationship with somebody, then you don't like that person anymore. So sin messes you up, whereas for God, doesn't mess God up at all. God still loves you, agape, and you're to love everybody else, agape. You love them regardless of whether they sin or not. You forgive their sin. You treat them as though they were God, not as worship, but just as the fact that God treats them agape, unconditional love. I would say the church is lacking that today, not this church, but a lot of other churches, is because they don't really forgive you for sin. Now, they forgive themselves for sinning, but they don't forgive you for sinning. And so that makes marriage not stable. So even though you love each other the minute you're married, in the next minute they did something wrong and you're not happy that you married that person. Because people do sin. Are you aware of that? People do sin. So to be a grown-up as a Christian, you have to be able to forgive sins in other people. You have to love people no matter what they do. If they oppose what you think, you love them anyway. You pray for them. You bless them. You treat them for their own good. You're not hostile toward them because they sinned against God or against you or against anybody else. So I forgive anybody that I meet because they sin like I sin, and God forgives me, I forgive them. So I have the same unconditional love. That's powerful. We need to love people as they are, not as they ought to be. We need to love people as they are, not as they ought to be. But we all have a code that says, well, they didn't do right. I know, but forgive them. The response to someone that doesn't treat you right is continue the relationship from your side, not from their side. They may hate you, but you love them even though they hate you. You love them even though they abuse you. You love them even though they do not want to know you as a person, because persons sin. Even Christians sin. Even Christians can lie to you. Even Christians can deceive you. Even Christians can con you. And so we try to judge people by their behavior. But then your mind starts guessing what they are really. And only God knows them. You cannot know them. Don't do that. So, is that clear? So when I said, for God so loved the world, the word there is agape. Unconditional love. And I practice that. I don't hate people. Even if I say I hate them, I don't. I'm really saying I hate the deed they just did, not them. Now, I don't know that I make that mistake, but every once in a while you say, I hate that guy because he drove his car right in front of me and almost made an accident. You know, well, I forgive myself for doing that because that's not unconditional love. So then I'm convicted by the Spirit, and I could say, sometimes do say, God bless that person. And that changes my whole attitude toward people. So I want to read to you about the fact that God is love. Why? Your picture of God totally determines everything in this world. Your picture of God, about God, once you have the picture that He's a loving Father, that He's gracious and kind, forgiving, and powerful. When you have that idea, it affects everything in this world. So we are called to love one another, particularly in the church, but not only, also other people too. We love one another as Christ loved us. We love one another as Christ loved us. So you have to then practice that in order for it to become a habit. So what you do is you just simply say what the Bible says. Whatever the Bible says, do it. It doesn't matter whether you did it, but forgive them just as God forgave you. Love them just as God loved you. Does that make sense to everybody here?
Yeah.
So we not only believe in God, faith, but we also then treat our neighbor as ourselves. As much as you want to be loved by other, love everybody else the same way. Everyone doesn't like to be hated, despised, looked down on, degraded in their eyes. Everyone likes to be loved by others as you love them. So the Bible quickly says, love others as you love yourself. In other words, how do you love yourself? Well, you don't want to be hurt. You don't want to be robbed. You don't want to be used. You don't want to be abused. So treat others the same way. Does that make sense? And that's, Christianity is not hated for its behavior. Oh, and it is if they think you're a hypocrite. But it's not created when you are nice toward them and are not hostile toward them. It actually is the only thing they see, because they don't see your heart. But God does. And God forgives you because he can see what's in your heart. So even though you pretend like you're outwardly loving, you might be inwardly not. God sees that. God is able to see right through you. And he knows exactly what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're wanting, and what you just did. He can see right through you because he knows your whole heart. Amen. Right? So when you behave, you don't behave for people. You don't behave for people. You don't. It doesn't care what. It doesn't matter what people think, or feel, or want, or say, or do. The only thing that matters is that God loves you unconditionally. Take care of that. It affects everything in your life. Take care of that. It affects everything under your life. So my conclusion in this beginning opening statement is: as God loves you, love other people. As God loves you, love other people. Don't love other people, give them what they deserve. Don't give them what they deserve. Give them what they don't deserve. Love. Unconditional love. Hope I was clear. Any questions on that? Because I could dwell on that forever. So, is there any hostility or any anger, any frustration in you, take it to God and confess it. God, I'm not loving. I'm not like you are loving. I use people as objects. I don't want to do anything that pleases them. Okay. He's okay. Just say, I treated them wrong. That's a confession. It's just, I treated them wrong. You still, I love them, though. Even though what they did is wrong. That's love. That's unconditional love. So, Alex, there's nothing you could do that would make me be hostile toward you. Nothing. But don't do it.
Don't try.
No. I'm just saying. You have to love people just as they are. People aren't perfect. Did you know that nothing is made perfect under a law? That's why government is incapable of doing anything perfectly. Even when it says we'll administrate justice, it doesn't. Even when it says I'll administrate justice, it doesn't. God's kind of justice is merciful. God's kind of justice is, let me do it, what you are supposed to do, and I'll forgive you. That's God's kind of justice. He wants that for everybody in the world. Not just Christians, not just Jewish people, not just well-behaved people. He wants that for everybody. So what's missing in our world today is we don't worship God with all our heart, soul, and strength by faith, nor do we love our neighbor as ourselves by faith. So, it doesn't matter what you really feel on the inside. Don't love them from feelings or thoughts. I don't like that person. Don't love them that way. Just love them by faith. Love them by faith. God accepts that. because you trust that Jesus came to make you be born from above, to have eternal life in your heart, to regenerate you, so that you're no longer a natural person. You are now a new creation. Kaine katesis, a creation new, a new creation. Okay, so God accepts us because we believed in his son Jesus. That's it. That's it. And all you have to do is add faith to what you do, and it's acceptable to God. God, what I just did was wrong. Forgive me, thank you. Now I'm going to go and do good for that person. I pray for that person. I bless that person. I love that person. I forgive that person. You see that? So that's how you do it. Now, any questions? All right. I would have you practice that right here, but I'll let you do that at home. But you need to love people that don't love you. You need to pray for people that don't pray for you. That's what makes the world heaven on earth. All right. Chapter 5 says, truly, truly, truly of a truth. In other words, when God repeats something, it always means, truly, truly, I'm telling you the truth from God. Otherwise, it just says, let me tell you the truth. That isn't it. This one is truly, truly. This one's from God. I'm speaking God's word. So truly, truly means it's fixed. It's not just saying something. Truly, this is the truth I'm telling you from God. That's what you're saying. So, truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, of water and of the Spirit. That's two kinds of baptism. Water baptism, Spirit baptism. Truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Wow. So, I'm telling you the truth from God. Unless a man, if a man loves you in truth from God, then actually Jesus did it. You didn't do it. Actually, you didn't do that. Your natural man can't do that. And that's how you get born of the Spirit. You get born of the Spirit because you believe Jesus changed your nature so that you were crucified with Christ. When he was crucified, you were crucified. When he was buried, you were buried. When he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, new I. The old I is gone. It's no longer I that live. That I, that biological, that natural I, no longer exists. I'm a new creation. Now you're expressing your faith. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Christ in me is a new life for me. Me in Christ is a new life for me. That's a new man. You see that? So the old I is gone, and the new I has come. The old I is gone, the new I has come. That's what it means to be born of the Spirit. Now watch what happens. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, if you're flesh born, everyone is flesh born. If you're flesh born, everyone is flesh born. If you're born of the flesh, then everything you produce is flesh. Not acceptable to God. But if you're born of the Spirit, then everything you do is born of the Spirit. That's why you have to be born again of water, washing away the filth, and of the Spirit. So now you're spiritually a person, because God is Spirit. And they that worship him must always worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. You see both of them? So, water means now you're baptized into Jesus. Now I'm in him, because he first loved me and he's in me. When he went to heaven, he actually didn't go to heaven because he's spiritually. So he went to two places at once, in your heart and up in heaven at the same time. Isn't that amazing? Because he's a spirit and God is a spirit. And so you can worship God in spirit and in truth. So you can be in two places at the same time because you're a spirit. So I can love somebody across the sea that I don't even know their name. I can do it in tongues. I can just speak to them in tongues, and I don't even know what language I'm speaking. I don't need to know. And that's why you must do that, should do that, ought to do that. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with the fruit of salvation. You're praying for other people that you don't even know. So that's why I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, meaning now I'm going to speak in an unknown tongue. My mind is not active now. So I just say, Kuriyama, Sarama Kuriya, Salama Kuya. And so I'm speaking an unknown tongue. It could be the tongue of angels. It could be the tongue that people actually speak in their language. You don't know that, because you don't speak Mandarin Chinese. Or you don't speak, some African language. You don't speak it, so you don't even know what you're talking about. And you don't need to, because it's not mental. It's just simply spiritual. And that's why we pray in the spirit, and we pray also in the mind. I do understand when I speak like I am speaking right now in English, but I also understand how to pray for someone else in another tongue. And so on the day of Pentecost, they were preaching like that, and all the nations of the world heard them speaking in their own language, and there's a whole bunch of them speaking in an unknown language, and they don't know it. One is speaking, Swedish, and the other speaking, Chinese. They don't know, but they heard him glorifying God in their own language. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. You couldn't do that as a natural person. So when someone is saying something, if it's not in English, I don't understand it. Or if it's not in a language I understand, I don't know what they're saying. But a lot of the black people, because I've been reading, this is their 400th anniversary of coming to America in Virginia at Point Comfort. In the Chesapeake Bay on the James River. And so that's where the first black man came 400 years ago, 1619. And in I think it's in June of that year. But anyway, so they came. And here, they've been here first as slaves. And then even though the Civil War was supposed to solve that, war can solve nothing. So, it didn't change anybody's heart. You'd have to be a Christian to be able to love your neighbor as yourself. And by the way, the black people came from Ham, whose father was Cush, Kashtim, and Cush means black-headed people. So, they're not just headed, they're completely black. And so, they're brothers to Shem and Japheth. So the Caucasian, what we call white race, it isn't a race. It's a brother. It's not a race. So and say you're a racist, there is no such thing. It's not in the Bible. You'll never see race. We're all of one race, one family, Shem, Ham, Japheth. And God then said these words, and God blessed Shem, Ham, and Japheth, all three brothers. Brothers. They have the same gene pool. So all the gene pool in Adam and Eve came down to Noah and his three sons and their wives. So all the gene pool was in all of them. So one bore Shem. They call that the Semitic people, Shem. Then they called Japheth, the oldest one, that is the Caucasian people, what we call white, but they're not white race. They're white family. In other words, they just look white. But the color of your skin, Martin Luther King said, is not the determinant. It's the color of your culture. It's the color of your character. It's who you are in Christ. So they're brothers. They're completely brothers. And so it's a brotherhood thing. And there's a squabble among the brothers. Everyone knows that. But no one knows how to solve it. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. They're all of one blood. So if an orangutan were next to you, you didn't want blood from that orangutan and you'd die. You'd die immediately. Or a gorilla. If a gorilla is next to you, hey, you got good blood? You can't talk to him because he can't speak your language. He might grunt, but that doesn't mean he's talking. You want a coconut? Uh-huh. You know, but that doesn't mean he actually is talking. He understands the word coconut, and he could respond to that, so you think he's talking. And so he's not really talking because he couldn't write Shakespeare. He couldn't do anything. So anyway, we think animals are people. Animals are not people. We are a different species from them. But they're not brothers and sisters, even though the Franciscans think they are. My brother, you know, caterpillar and so on. That's nonsense. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. So I judge everything by the Bible. If you judge by human reasoning, you can come up with nonsense. And the whole world today is divided by nonsense. Yeah, there's no such thing in the Bible as people talk today. In fact, that's how they keep us divided. So the enemies keep us divided. How do they do that? How do they do that? Well, they categorize you. You don't want to be categorized. They don't even have the category of spirit. Oh, you're a spiritual person. They don't even know what that means. They don't even know what that means. And so you're a white person. You know, there's no such thing as a white person. That's just a brother. So black and white and red and yellow and all the kind of colors we talk about. And little kids sing that song. Red and yellow, black and white. But they do sing that song, but they're talking about one family. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You know what's common between us? Love. Unless you have hate. If you have hate, then you don't have love. So if we love one another as God has loved us, we're brothers. We're all brothers of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We're not three races. Never use the word race. It's used in the newspapers every day. But never use it, because it's not in the Bible. There's only one race, the human race. Everything else is a lie. So there's no such thing as differences. There's just different brothers, that's all. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Once God blesses Shem, Ham, and Japheth, three brothers of Noah, just three brothers of Noah. So blessed be Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Once he blesses you, he cannot change his mind. It's impossible for him to change his mind. They're not brothers. He can't say that. Once you bless, you can't be cursed. You can never be cursed. And yet people today curse the other races because they're not racist at all. We're all the same. Did you understand what I just said? You're of one blood, and the person next to me can be red, they can be orange, they can be yellow. I don't care what their color of skin is. The color of skin does not determine who you are. Don't let the Democrats today who use those words loosely, in other words, falsely, by saying you're a racist. They don't even know what they're talking about. There is no such thing in the Bible. One blood. The person next to you can give you type A or B or whatever. So All you have to know is their type. You don't have to know whether you could take a blood transfusion, because if they're your type, you're all right. And so that could be anybody next to you, because they have the same types in their portion of the family. What God blesses, he cannot curse. What God blesses, he cannot curse, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
That's why we can love. That's why I'm teaching this today, is the problem with Texas, the problem with America, the problem with the world today is so simple. Just do it the way God says. Be born again of the Spirit, anothen, born from above, born from heaven above. Also, because Jesus is now cleansing you from all unrighteousness, that is sanctification. Now you're justified by God, now you're sanctified by God. And then he wants to perfect you in love, so that there's nothing left of faith and hope when he comes back. Now, you don't have that now. You do not have that now. You have a new heart. And that's enough to make you love your brother. You don't need more than that. But he's also daily cleansing us from all unrighteousness. So, we should see progress in Christians that they can love anybody and everybody. That doesn't mean you have to fall in love. What that means is you love them because they're brothers, because they're sisters, because they're people. And God loves people, and he died for people, everybody. And the Abrahamic covenant ends up in verse 3, Genesis 12, 3. All the families of the earth, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, just three. All the families of the earth, all the others perished in the flood. All the others perished in the flood. So the gene pool is in only those six sons. The gene pool is in those six sons. Three sons and three wives. That is all it, because Noah didn't have any more kids after that. He's old. He was 600 years old when the flood started. And then he lived a whole bunch of years after that. But he didn't live then. That would be big for us. But in those days, you could live a long time. And the oldest one was Methuselah. And he lived the moment it began to rain and ended the world. The flood then for 40 days lasted on the earth, because they opened the windows of heaven and the depths of the sea, and all that water came up and raised the water level. Never, you cannot go back to the old earth. You cannot go back to it. There's only a few mountains. Several of them I know are in Africa, all the way from Gibraltar all the way to South Africa. And those mountains I've seen with my own eyes. And so they're there. But the rest of it, especially the west side of Africa, is under, I think, about 5 miles of mud. That means everything that was there is buried. And there's a fault on the east side called the Afro, and it goes through Israel too, through the Dead Sea and then on up. That same fault line is still there. We have faults in California and so on and so forth. So all of this is not, we're not ignorant of all that. We just don't understand it until you read the Bible. Then it tells you exactly how all these things came to be. So much of the world, it flooded. You can go to the top mountain in America and there'll be seashells, millions, millions of them. And when I was a dad, I said to the kids before we even got, and I'd never been to Colorado, I'd never got there, and I said, I bet you when we climb that mountain that you see right there, we hadn't even gotten there, we'll go to the top. How many kids want to go? Yeah. You will see seashells. And how did they get there? They didn't bring them up one by one. God flooded the world 15 measures or feet above the water. That's how far the water above the mountains, but the biggest mountains. Today, mountains are different because some are taller and shorter. But in those days, the world was more flat. So when he flooded the world, not a big deal, because the world was lower and the oceans were lower. And the world used to be one piece, all of one piece. And then it split into continents and so on and so forth. So you all know this, right? You knew that in science or geography. I don't think they teach geography anymore. At least it's very rare. But in college, they did teach it, and people studied it. And I did. I took it. But you learn then what products are around the world and where the gold is and silver. And you learn all kinds of things through geography. I'm so sorry that they don't teach it anymore. And that's because they don't want you to know all those facts. You can look it up in Wikipedia or something like that, but I wouldn't trust that totally. But because a lot of that is just it's not provable. It's just hearsay. And so it's hard for you to learn some. You have to buy old books, which I have lots of old books. You have to buy old books that go back several centuries to get all this stuff. But when I was in college, they did teach it, and I took it. And so you learn all about, you know, everything about the earth, the clouds, the everything, all the objects that are scattered above what we call the earth. Not the world, but above the earth. The earth belongs to God. Satan is controlling the world only if you're born of the flesh. Satan controls the world only if you're born of the flesh. How many of you are born of the Spirit? The world then is not your world. You don't belong to that world. You belong to another world, which is in heaven. You are a new creation on earth. Those laws do not affect you in the same way they affect everybody else. So you ought to behave like, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what that means. That's what he's talking about. Love everybody equally. So, a black man is my brother. A white man is my brother. A Jewish man is my brother. That's it. Orientals, there's no such word. That just simply means the East. All our maps today are north, northbound. So you see north in the upper and then south. But it used to be east and west. And so everything was based more on that. But you could always go north and south. But now we orient. We orient meanings. That's our new orientation. Our new way of looking at the world. Because of the way it's inhabited. 7. John 3, 7. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Now, that's not a shall, it's just you must. In other words, it's not something that God forces on you. You must be born again. It's not a shall. You shall be born again. No, God didn't create us shall. He created us you must. In other words, that's a choice. You can make that choice. Be born again. How can you do it? You can't. You can't. It had to be a work of God, and Jesus is in you to will and to do of God's good pleasure. So you cannot even make that happen. You must be born again. But nobody can be born again. You know, I'll be born again. You just can't make it like that. It has to be you read the word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But then that's not even an experience of the living God. And all three of those happened to me, but I wasn't even aware that it happened. Because I was reading the word, because I was going to be a pastor someday. I was reading the word, but it didn't touch my heart. It didn't touch my heart. But one day, I had an experience of the living God, and I knew that I knew that I knew. In other words, I knew that I knew previously that I knew previously God. Now, when you have that, you're a new creation. In such a way that you cannot change it. And if you're not, it'll easily show up. Because you'll still not only be behaving like the old person, your heart will not be after God. But once you know God and you can speak to him and he can speak back to you, that is powerful. That is powerful. Now, I'm not going to ask who has that. because every one of you may have it and not even know about that. But something convinces you there is a God, Jesus is his son, and it's to the death for me. I don't want to be me any longer. I want my life to be under new management. Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. First coming, second coming. So he already came in the first place and died for you. Now he's going to come back and take his bride. So he's now our Savior, and he's our Lord, which we obey, and he's our bridegroom. So he's everything, everything, everything that you need to be a perfect person. Now, are you perfect? I'm not going to ask anybody. Are you perfect now? Because have you been born again? The answer is yes. I don't think you'd be here if you weren't. Everybody here has been born again, but you did that by faith. But that's not the same thing as actually having an experience, which comes through chair 5 and 6, where you actually experience his presence in you from the heart, so that you're actually behaving different occasionally, not forever, until he comes back. Then it'll be forever. Then by sight, you'll see what by faith you believe. You'll see by sight, and then you'll be another person. Not really, because you still have the same heart. Now you'll have a new body and a new soul as soon as Jesus comes back. So when he does that, you become not only a lover, but you actually know you love that person. Today you just do it by faith. But tomorrow you'll actually know, wow, I love everybody. You don't have to make yourself do it. It's an experience of the living God, who's today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. Yesterday, I believe. Today, I still believe, and that's leading me to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Can you see that you're growing? Can you see that you're growing? Well, that wasn't your work, so give glory to God. It wasn't your work. Jesus not only created you, then he justified you, then he's sanctifying you, then he'll glorify you until you have no spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. No blemish, nothing. Now, none of you experience that today. You cannot. It's impossible. Jesus actually wants to grow slowly like that so that you begin to change slowly. Why? That's the way God does it. That's the way God does it. He doesn't want you to be proud that you're mature right away. How many young people want to be mature right away? I want to be right away. I'm ready. And so little kids at 2, they're ready. I want to wear that shirt. So they're ready to make their own decisions. They blow off the parents, you know. I'm running away. And so kids are like that. How many know that? God wants you to grow slowly because he's going to do it. And when he does it, it's perfect. When you do it, it's not. And so a lot of people today that are in the news, a lot of people today think they're mature. But they're not mature. You could be 80 years old and be immature. Yikes. You'd have to wait till next year, because in a few weeks I'll be 79. But you'll see it in Peggy first, because she's older than I am. And she's my beloved, best person ever. For me. For me. Hallelujah. But you have to forgive people. Forgive people. The wind bloweth. The wind bloweth where it listeth. In other words, where it wants. And you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it comes. So this is something you can't observe. And whither it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Yeah.
That means today, amen, you're not yet fixed. You have a new heart. And God loved you because of your heart, not because of your behavior. He loved you because of your heart. Actually, he committed adultery. King David did a lot of bad things. He numbered the people and so on. Well, that was behavior. But God still loved him, agape, because after the heart. And God doesn't judge the you because of behavior. But when he comes back, you'll have that behavior because Jesus is going to do that. The second, the nanosecond he comes back, you'll rise up, rapture out of this world, back to your home in the mid-heavens, and ultimately then into heaven itself, and you'll come back as the new heaven and the new earth, and you'll live there forever and ever and ever, world without end. Do y'all understand what I just said? You don't have to really understand it, just can you understand the concept of it? Because someday you're going to experience what you have a concept of now. Someday you'll actually see that you love everybody, and you always have. Why not be your new self now by faith? And then later, see it go. I made a good decision. The moment that I married Peggy, I married the perfect woman. I married absolutely perfectly. Don't bawl yourself out if you didn't. I'm not talking about that. I'm just simply saying, because God forgives all that. He wants you to realize you are never mature enough to handle marriage. Because he designed marriage not to work without God. But the without God is the critical thing. Make sure you married. And I got married without God. I didn't have any God at all. But when I got married, I didn't know anything. I just knew, you know, do what pleases you. I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't really care about it. I just wanted to survive. I just wanted to make it through the next day and so on and so forth. And my only goal was to be worshipped and adored, and people would gasp when they'd see me and so on and so forth. But that never happened. So that was not a good deal. So I realized I'm no longer that person. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Totally different. Totally different. Not in behavior. Not in behavior. Little bit, little bit, little bit. But you have to grow like a plant grows. You have to grow exactly like everything else. But the world is not changing. It's still the same world. But there are Christians in it, but they're not mature. If you're not mature, then you're not mature. And I want you all, y'all, to be mature. Well, I don't have any power to make that happen, except preach the word. I don't have any power to make you mature. So some of you are, and some of you aren't. I didn't have anything to do with it. Don't thank me. All I did is preach what I was supposed to preach, and so on and so forth. But I'm not perfect, and I don't do anythingly perfect. Nothing. Nothing. So I'm a nothing. He's my everything. But I'm glad to marry someone who's going to be, when we get married. We're betrothed now. We're betrothed to each other. But we're not yet consummated until the very end, when he comes back. And he's waiting for his bride to make herself ready, but actually he's making us ready. Because beholding him, we are changed from glory to glory. One degree of glory to another degree of glory. That is justification, sanctification, glorification.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So you can't make that speed it up. You cannot speed it up. Just be relaxed. And if you're relaxed and just be yourself, God will fix up everybody that believes on that word, reads that word. We read it without even understanding it. Just read it. It's so powerful, and it made me a Christian. It's so powerful that even when I didn't believe in it, I believed in it. But I didn't even know I believed in it until I had that experience. Then I realized, wow, this is awesome. And so, what this is saying is, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's a gift. A gift is a gift. He didn't give something he didn't want to give. He gave what, you know what he gave? Himself. He didn't give us a gift. He gave himself. That's all we needed, was to have a relationship with the true and living God. That's powerful.
Amen.
That's powerful.
Yes.
Then you can do anything you want to do. So there's no one here that can say, I don't have that talent, or I don't have that money, or I don't have that resource. You don't need it. You just need Jesus.
Amen.
He freely gives you everything. If you just get Jesus, then he gives you everything. And so I'm not worried about that. I don't have to see it today. I'll get it. I'm not worried. I never run after anybody or try to do anything. I just wait for everything to come my way. Why? Because I'm a son of God.
Amen.
Why? I don't know. I don't really understand how it works. It's just like electricity. You just plug it in and the light goes on, but I don't know how it works. You just get in the car and turn the key and it just goes. And when it doesn't, you need a new bulb or you need a mechanic or somebody to fix it. Okay. But the point is, I don't understand all that. Waves and, you know, sometimes it's particles and, you know, scientists aren't even clear about anything. And the more questions they ask, the more problems they have. They solved, you know, polio years ago, and now it's coming back. They solved, you know, all kinds of diseases because of the rats and all this stuff, people living on the streets, because those are bad policies by politicians whom we trust. We trust those people to be like God. If you don't have Christians in power who are mature, it's very hard to have any justice, any peace, any liberty on earth. But there's some. And Texas used to hold out for that. But I talked to one of our congressmen the other day, David Halverson and I. We talked to him, and he said, the thing you want to do as a Christian, you can't. I don't know of anybody. I'm a Christian. He said, I'm like you. I'm a strong Baptist. But I'd say, there's no one you can trust in the Senate or in the House. And I'm the strongest one in the House. I do it not because of I want to be reelected. In fact, he's going to be gone this year. He's already announced it. But he said, you can't ask me because Christianity is just words. There's nobody actually. They're out for power. They're out for, you know, promotion. They're out for something that blesses them. They're not out for you, the people. So you realize when he said that in Texas, the one state that you'd think would be under God, that's in the allegiance. One state under God. You know, but it doesn't mean anything. It just means, you know, they're just like everybody else. They want for their own advantage. So they rob you of your liberties. Every time government grows, you shrink. Every time government grows, you shrink. You're no longer, and it's your fault because you could have complained or you could have made noise or you could have spoken. Not in a mean way. Not, you know, like people that, you know, chase after you with clubs and violence and anarchy. I'm talking about you don't just let people mow you down. You speak up and tell them the good news of the gospel. That's how Paul saved a lot of people in the Roman Empire. Every guard that guarded him on one side or the other, he had guards holding him down, chained to him. And then he would say, hey, guys, since we're here, we've been here for 2 hours, I think I need to tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, shut up, jerk. And he just said, no, let me tell you. Because you can't go anywhere. Because you'd have to kill me if you tried to break away. So you're chained into me. And he won the whole Roman Empire that way. And he says somewhere in there, this gospel has been preached to the whole world. Doesn't literally mean the whole world, but it just means the whole world, meaning sooner or later, everyone's going to contact somebody else. And so that gospel went out. And we're still reaping the benefit of not only that reformation in the church that moved us from law to gospel, bad news to good news, because nothing's made perfect with bad news. But good news gets people to be born again, then filled with the Spirit, and then led by the Spirit. So now we're born, filled, led. So that's a perfect person, but not perfect, 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 perfect. It's almost perfect. But when Jesus comes back again, you will now see what you have now believed. And that's coming soon. And I believe it's during your lifetime, the younger ones. I don't believe it's during my lifetime. I believe that, I'm just going to watch Peggy, whatever Peggy does. She's 5 years older, so I'll just kind of, 5 days, I'll just watch her and see how she's doing. So God wants you to be totally blessed every minute of every second of every day. And he will never change his mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, what? Whosoever believeth on him, because not everybody, but whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. So you have that now. If you just believe, you have that. You don't have to even see it. You have it without seeing it. Well, I don't see it. You don't have to see it. Well, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. Well, I don't know if I want it. You don't have to want it. Just read it. Just keep reading it until you are convinced and convicted that this is the power of the Holy Spirit to change everybody, so that you not only are personally righteous, you are publicly able to love this world with your agape love. With your agape love. So that is powerful. And so it says here, 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He did not send him for that reason. But that the world through him might be saved. In other words, it's not a guarantee. Because you have to be part of the deal. You have to say, I believe in that. You have to say, I believe in that. You make a public statement. I believe in what the Bible says. And don't apologize. Don't say, well, I don't want to make an enemy of myself. Yeah, go ahead and make an enemy of yourself. Actually, when people say no, it's a yes. When they say, I don't believe in that, that means they actually heard what you said. Well, I don't believe in what you believe. That's your opinion. When they say that, that means it's actually a yes, because they heard what I said. And so you can keep going. Did you hear what I say? That's a salesman technique, by the way. You want to sell something, don't ever listen to the no's. Go for the yes, the yes, the yes. Why? When people say no, that doesn't mean anything. You just keep saying. But what I said to you is the truth. And then they're going to argue with you. And so keep it going. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, they may hate you. But that hatred's nothing. Just forgive the hatred. Just go ahead and do yourself. So there's people in town here that sell properties. And they only charge a few $1,000. And then your property's sold. And no matter what the value is, they only want a few $1,000 for it. And so it's advertised all the time. Why can he sell everything? He even brags about that. I'll sell every house I buy. And if I don't, I'll pay for my own money and buy it. And then resell it to somebody else. So that guy is awesome, right? Because he's a good salesman. He came upon an idea that he had. You know what? I'm not going to do it like others do it. I'm going to do it the way Jesus is telling me. I don't care if he's a Christian or not. I'm going to do it that way. Because God never takes a no. There's no such thing as a no. Yes, I can do it. I can win this tournament. How? I don't know. That's why I say it. But it just saying it doesn't make it. But if you have Jesus working on your behalf, he's going to cause love to come to you because he loves people that love him back. He was first. We were second. So now I love everybody the same way I love Jesus. Everybody. Start with your own family. If you can get past that, you can get to the world. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Might be. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Do you all believe in Jesus? Yes. Then you're not condemned. And just say that. I'm not condemned. There is now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Who, and listen to the who what? Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's an appositive, appositive. So appositive means it's saying the same thing. It's equal to the same thing. In other words, if you say, I have no condemnation, and somebody says you do because you didn't walk right, it has nothing to do with walk. But who walk not, walk means your character. Walk means your commitment from the heart through the soul to the body. So that walk is, that's your character. That's your character ending up in conduct. So now you have the conduct coming from the character, coming from your faith. Three things. So those three things are just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Exactly. Everything in this world is divided that way. That's the way God created it, to with wisdom. And this is the condemnation, that light has come in. Who's the light? Jesus. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. That is natural man. You're not a natural man. You're a new creation. Because the only reason they didn't follow the light was because they loved darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. So evil deeds, which is your walk, deeds are most outward. That is the manifestation that is showing it to the whole world. That is deed. That's glorification. Because you were dead to yourself, and so you loved your neighbor as yourself. You were dead to yourself, so you loved your neighbor as yourself. If you love the neighbor, but you're not dead to yourself, you won't love the neighbor. You didn't love him. Because you didn't do for him, even though he sinned. Even though he doesn't deserve it. You have to love everybody equally. Unconditional love. So you have to love everybody. Even the people that abuse you are a blessing. Did you hear what I just said? So what if slavery is the only way that you can obtain the throne? In other words, maybe slavery is what's needed in our representatives. And if they're not fearing God and not loving God, they'll be bad representatives because they'll be all for themselves. But what if the only way you can do it, and after 400 years of the blacks being in America, they're looking at it wrongly. They're angry. They're bitter. They want to rehearse and massage all the bad things that have happened to them. And I'm part of a committee. There's only 12 of us. To celebrate the black 400th anniversary. And I'm the only one that spoke up. And I had a man from Dallas who's an apostle. I'm an apostle. And then another one that's an apostle from Virginia said, if you share that today, it'll divide the group. Share it. We'll speak for it. And they did. And they were brilliant. And God said to me, now don't speak until I tell you to speak, because you don't want to divide the group. And I did, and it changed the whole nature of our meeting. Because what I said was, no, coming to America was a blessing for the black man. Because unless you understand that you have to be a slave in order to have your own land and your own king and your own everything, priest and so on and so forth. Israel went into bondage, and Abraham was told by God, your people will be 400 years in slavery to the Egyptians, and then I'll take you out with a mighty strong hand. Now they had their own land. They had their own king. They had their own prophets. They had everything. And religion was the main objective of all the laws that they had. But religion was upward and then outward. But they failed in both accounts. So when Jesus came along, he took the land away from them. And they were thrown out of the land. They became exiles in Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome. And they're still there to this day, even though they've been given back the land. They didn't come as people that said, we sinned. So, the best has been saved to the last, because they will survive the next Holocaust. And there will be another in our lifetime. You'll see it. Now, the 400 years is up. You'll be slaves, then you'll be free. So freedom comes from slavery, if you have a God. And those people then change their whole agenda. Is it's wonderful to be here and be a slave, because then we knew if anything happened, it was God. Because we had no property, we had no rights, we had nothing. And even though they gave us rights, we couldn't use them. And everywhere we turn, someone is against us. And we're going to blame Whitey. I think he did it. That's your brother. That's your brother. So no matter what Whitey intended, it won't happen, because God's in control of everything. And so the best has been saved to the last. You haven't seen the last. It's yet to come. So now, the more you read, the more you understand that history is his story, not man's story. Mm-hmm. So the best has been saved to the last. Aren't you glad you're part of it?
Hallelujah.
Are you not glad you're part of it?
Yeah.
I mean, I would be. I'd be happy to be part of that. And even Texas was born with tyranny. Remember that Santa Anna? He decided, I'll conquer Texas. I'll conquer them. And they don't have any troops anyway. And I'll destroy them. In fact, I'm going to exterminate every one of them. Anybody that's here from any other state, I'll exterminate them all. And I'm going to impose the Roman Catholic religion on them, and I'll find then reasons to kick them out or kill them and take their farm. And I'll come up with a reason. That is called what? Civil and religious tyranny. And that's what they said in their declaration, which is called the Declaration of Independence from the Mexican government, which was now under Santa Anna's control. And so, what happened? A few weeks after the Alamo, just a couple of weeks after the Alamo, all of a sudden, General Sam Houston, in 18 minutes, he destroyed Santa Anna's whole army. And that's the end of him. He didn't die. He just went back and lied to him and said, I'll behave myself. But it's okay. How many know you can forgive people like that? How many know that then? But he never again came with troops. He did come with troops, but he was not able to ever, ever again take control. Same way it will be in heaven. When the bad guys are gone, there's no more. You have to suffer in order then to have victory. Because the Americans felt, hey, King George III, he's just condemning us. I can tell you why. Because you move from God to finance. You move from, the glory of God to then the glory of finance. And then you move to wanting to control everybody. And then you move to slavery. But God can reverse that. Make you a slave to make you a king, so that you become financially wealthy and you worship God again. Can God not reveal? Can he not reduce everybody to numbness? Because God says, oh, I don't like that. I'm going to do it this way. And so 400 years of being a slave is nothing. It's just 400 years. And if you read the word 400 in the Bible, you'll always find it leads to something that's bad to something that's wonderful. Beyond measure. So, you're liable to see the whole world change this next year. It says after. After 400. After means after. So it doesn't mean this year. It means next year when we celebrate. And that'll be 1620. That'll mean that you can no longer claim that Plymouth Rock is how we started in 1620 when the slaves came in 1619, the year before. So now you have to say those 400 years between those two led us to being in charge. Did you hear what I just said? So, can you imagine him picking nobodies to be somebodies? Because the nobodies, before they were slaves, were actually somebodies. And not only that, they were Hebrew blacks. And not only that, they wrote in Hebrew, they understood Hebrew. And thousands and thousands of those documents are now gone, but we still have more. And they were free, and they worshiped, not only were they Jewish, they were also Christian, and they worshiped Yeshua HaMashiach. Do y'all know that? It's in the Bible. That's all in the Bible. It's in the Bible. You're not going to read it in any other religion. So those blacks that came over spoke Hebrew. And they understood it. And they knew that they had Solomon, who then slept with the Queen of Sheba, who then had a boy, who then became Robert's great, 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 great grandfather. And his father was King of Zimbabwe, and the British came and took him over. While he's praying, they're stealing his land and stealing all his gold. And Cecil John Rhodes in the 19th century stole all that gold, and now it's in the hands of the Rothschilds throughout Europe. And they control the whole gold market. Don't you think God can give it back to the original owner? And so what if Robert then... I'm not going to tell you what I really think.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't want to. It's too exciting. But something could happen now to change the whole equation of the world. Could change everything because of something Robert told me. And so it's pretty exciting that you might see the world not the same as it is this year. Because this is the last year of their 400 years anniversary, and 400 means something in the Bible. You go from slavery to the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you just read the word 400 in the Bible, you would see everything. For example, when Abraham wanted to bury his wife in the cave of Machpelah, which he brought from a Hittite, the Hittite said, I give you the land. He said, no, I don't want it. It's worth a lot of money. Well, what is 400 shekels? He then bought the land which God gave him. The land was given to him by God, but he hadn't seen it yet. He had faith in it, but he hadn't seen it yet. And he still hasn't seen it to this day. And I visited his bones in Hebron, which is where the cave of Machpelah is. And not only is his wife there, Abraham is also there. And the Joseph's bones are also there. And Jacob's bones are there. And so on and so forth. All the patriarchs are there. It's powerful. When you think of the way God looks at love, meaning, when I love you, I'll never take it back. I love you unconditionally. I hope you're blessed today by the message. Amen. Anyone want to testify that you were blessed today? You are blessed just by hearing the word.
Amen.
You're blessed by hearing the word. But anyone blessed today want to just say hallelujah or yahoo or something?
Wow.
All people throughout the whole earth. There's no difference. It's a brotherly dispute. So what? Don't worry. Fret not because of evil doers. Whether it's the homosexual agenda, or whether it's the Al-Qaeda or whatever it is. Stop it. Or the Democrats. Or I don't care who it is that you think is stopping you. Nobody's stopping you from loving Jesus with all your heart and soul and strength. Nobody can stop you. You don't have to be afraid. There's no fear in love. God loves you. So there's no fear. Just go ahead and suffer. Suffering is always the key to the throne. There's no other way to get to the throne except unless you are suffering with him, you will never be glorified with him. It says so in the Bible. So don't worry about suffering. Doesn't you have to suffer when you're bouncing on everybody and people are bouncing on you? You have to suffer. And that is good for you. But you trained. You trained. And if you train, then you are more able to fend off yourself and still reach the goal at the same time. You can actually be free and yet bound at the same time. Actually free and bound at the same time. For example, I believe in Jesus, so there I'm free. But I'm free then to bind myself for my neighbor. So I can love God with all my heart, soul, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. I can do both at once. Simul justus et peccator. What does that mean in Latin? Right. So you can actually be simul, means simultaneously, simul justus, justified, and also I can be a sinner too. I can do both. Why? Because I love my neighbor as myself who sinned, and I forgive the sin because God forgave my sin. This is first, this is second. This is first, this is second. So the first four commandments refer to worship of God. The second six, worship my neighbor. No, don't worship him. Love him as you want God to love you and as he has, and now you can love your neighbor as yourself. So it's easy. It's not hard to love your neighbor because he's a brother. He's a sister. We're all one family. There aren't any other families. All the gene pool from Adam and Eve came down through the ages. And you don't even know what color anybody was. You don't even have to know that. If God wanted you to know it, he'd say it. He doesn't want you to know anything about that. Don't even look into it. Don't even try to find out. Were they all this or are they all that? Don't worry about it. God is able to hide his trail so that only God knows your heart. Nobody else knows your heart. Only God knows your soul. Nobody else. No psychiatrist, no psychologist, nobody. They don't know anything about man because they don't even know what man should be. So how can they know who man is? Who is man? What is man? That thou art mindful of him. So God loves you. Now you can love your neighbor. Don't even think about it. Just do it. Later, you'll see it. Later, you'll feel it. Later, you'll understand all mysteries. There will be no mysteries. None. As soon as Jesus comes back, it's over. Boom, boom. And the devil will already be in the lake of fire. Or the devil himself won't be in the lake of fire, but the Antichrist and the false prophet will be. So today, already, that deal has been made without question. That secret deal, which no one knows about, no one knows about that, but I'm just telling you, it's already been said, and I know exactly who the players are. So what? Just believe in God. Just do what God says. Pray for those people. Pray for all people, because all people are subject to your prayers. God, I want you to bless so-and-so. It's a bad person, but bless them. I forgive sin. Just like you forgave mine, I forgive theirs. So we can love one another. If we just love one another, God would have heaven on earth. If we just love one another, forget loving the world, just love one another. But you also have to, and it'll just happen. If you start loving one another, you could love anybody. If you just loved your own wife, you could love anybody. If you just loved your neighbor as yourself, you could love anybody. Because the sin is in DNA in everybody. Everybody that you know will betray you. Everybody that you know could easily damage you. Why worry about it? He said, fret not. Why worry about that? I don't ever focus on that. I just focus on God. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. That's it. That's sanctification and glorification all at once. I get both. I just got justified by his death. Now, I was passive to that. But now here I am active. Only it's not me who's active. Faith in Christ is active in love. Faith in Christ is active in love. Love for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Love for your neighbor as yourself. Boom. You've done everything you had to do, which is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. But when you were a slave for so many years that you know what injustice is because everything was done to you. Why complain about that? Why not praise God? Why not praise God that you have enemies that despise you, hate you, want to use you, and abuse you? Why worry about that? Don't you have a God that's in control of everything? Do you think the devil can just do anything he wants to? No. He has to always go and ask God his permission. Can I take away the hedge that's around Job? Sure, go ahead. Really? I can do that? Can I give them boils? Yeah, you can give them boils. Can I make them sick? Can I make them confused? Yeah, do all that. Only one thing. I reserve to myself this royal prerogative right. Don't take his life. So after Job was ended, after he saw God asking him questions, after God came down, he prayed. I wish God would just come down on earth. I can't get up to heaven where he is, but I just wish he'd come down. There's a whirlwind right over there. God spoke out of it and said, hey, where were you when I made the snowflake? I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Did you know everyone is different? Just like the, you know, your fingers and thumbs and so on and so forth. They're all different. And then he said, well, where were you when I hooked Leviathan with a hook and dragged him out of the sea? Well, I don't know about that either. So he put his hand over his mouth and said, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but I've never seen thee with the seeing of the eye. But I know that's you in that whirlwind. And though worms destroy this body, yet I will see the Lord in the land of the living, on earth as it is in heaven. That's a powerful statement by Job. Amen. They don't even know when it was written. They don't even know where he came from. They can guess, but they don't know. Just like there's a lot of mysteries in the Bible, but just keep reading it and all those truths will be revealed to you. All right. God is good. Who needs to pray? Needs to. You have the unction. I'm going to pray.